It's Wednesday and time to talk about food. And today we're going to talk about sugar, sweet things, chocolate, candy bars, cookies, brownies. No, you expect sugar to be in those things, right? You know when you're eating those things that you're eating sugar. But you're also eating sugar when you eat bread. You're also eating sugar when you eat Raisin Bran. People don't often realize how much sugar they eat every single day. So the question is, are sweets really that bad? To answer us, Dr. Brian Wansink is here. He's director of the Food and Brand Lab at Cornell, author of Mindless Eating. And he's also the former executive director of the USDA Dietary Guidelines. So he knows a few things about sweets. And Melissa Clark also joins us, food writer extraordinaire for our partner, the New York Times. She's going to talk to us about... Melissa. She reduced sugar recipes. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Oh, it's great to be with you this morning.
So, Dr. Wansink, tell me about sugar. How is it really bad for us?
Well, what makes sugar bad ends up being because when we eat it, we end up not eating something else we should eat. So, for instance, if we decide we're going to have four pixie sticks for breakfast, it's not that the pixie sticks are going to kill us. What it is that we don't end up eating an orange, we don't end up eating an apple, we don't end up eating yogurt because we're full. So it's actually the calories that sugar preempts that ends up being probably the worst effect on our health.
Well, you know, I've been reading a lot about sugar and the ill effects of it, but I think one of the issues here, and you can maybe argue with me, Dr. Wansink, is that perhaps people don't realize how many things have sugar in them. Like you mentioned yogurt. Actually, most yogurts have a huge amount of sugar in them.
Yeah, there's a great rule of thumb, too, that the more colors there are in the packaged yogurt, the more sugar it's going to have in it.
That's true.
That's right. Now, what's believed is that the typical person, I just got back from the American Heart Association meeting this morning at about 2:30 in the morning, and one of the things that they found is that about 355 calories of what we consume in a day, that's about 20% of what we eat, is made up of these added sugars, and it comes in all sorts of weird forms. But it's believed that about half of that in our diet ends up mainly coming from, soft drinks.
Wow. Okay, so Melissa, you, of course, are always encouraging people to get into the kitchen more and spend some quality time there. And your idea is that if we cooked our own food, we could avoid these added sugars.
Well, at least you have control over how much sugar you're adding. And that's, I think, really key. When you go out and you buy, for example, I brought this Oreo brownie bar for you guys to take a look at. And
it weighs like 6 pounds.
It's like a brick.
Well, and it's 6 pounds of pure sugar. If you look at the ingredients, sugar is listed. It's disguised, but it's listed about 6 times. There's sugar listed twice. There's high fructose corn syrup. There's regular corn syrup. There's fructose. There's a lot of sugar in this.
What's the backup sugar in case you don't get enough?
Then there's the chocolate. And then I made a blueberry muffin with maple syrup. There's no refined sugar. It's maple syrup is the only sweetener in that. And if you guys just want to
taste the Oreo bar first.
But the thing about cooking something at home is you're not going to add as much sugar because you don't have to. You're using real eggs, real butter, real flour. A little bit of sugar is all you need to make something taste delicious. Whereas if something is this processed, it tastes, you're not starting with real food, so you have to add a lot of sugar and salt.
But could somebody help me out here? I was reading that even if you do use natural ingredients, there are some produce that has been genetically engineered to have more sugar in it, fruit and these sorts of things, and that our sense of tasting sweet has maybe evolved in the last generation, Dr. Wansink?
Yeah, to some, and it's hard to say that they're out there engineering food to be sweeter. You know, they're a lot smarter than that. They actually are probably engineering food that is more disease resistant. So it has a longer shelf life. I mean, hybrid crops have been going on for a long, long time. But it's also true that regardless of what flavor it is or what taste it is, that we can adapt to increased levels of it. So just in the same way that if we put salt in all our food, we need more and more salt to get a kick out of it. The same thing happens with sugar, too. The more sugar we find in our foods, the more sugar we kind of want because we need this level of adaptation that we need to satisfy.
Excuse me, Doc. Have you tried both of these?
Yeah.
It's shocking.
It is shocking. The Oreo brownie bar literally...
It's like a drug.
It is.
I'm dizzy.
And it's not even a real... it's not even a real taste. It doesn't even taste like a real...
Yeah,
like, if you ask me what flavor that is, I couldn't even
sugar.
Say chocolate.
You'd
I don't
say
know.
Sugar. Exactly.
But the brownie muff, the blueberry muffin actually tastes very sweet.
And that's all maple syrup. And the thing is, I mean, like Dr. Wansink was talking about, at least with maple syrup, the calories aren't completely empty. I mean, yes, they're not as good as, more calories like whole wheat flour. But with maple syrup, you're getting a lot of minerals. You're getting a lot of zinc. You're getting a lot of magnesium.
Mm,
and
good.
You're using a lot less because maple syrup is sweeter than sugar. So you can use less and it gives a great flavor. There's no flavoring in that except maple syrup. There's no vanilla extract. It's just all the ingredients themselves.
But, yeah. But here's the thing. And Dr. Wansink, maybe you can answer this because you helped to construct the dietary guidelines. People are busier now than they ever have been. And so picking up an Oreo brownie bar as distasteful as it is, and maybe as much sugar as it is, that's much faster than making a blueberry muffin.
It is. And if we're a bad cook, the easiest way to be a better cook is to add more sugar to it, unfortunately.
That's a very good point. But, I mean, the thing about baking something yourself, another thing about baking, if you say, I'm only going to eat sweets that I make myself, I mean, chances are you're not going to eat that many sweets because it does take it takes longer to buy one, longer to make
it's
one at home.
That's a great strategy.
I know.
There's the takeaway from Melissa.
I know. Just only eat sweets you make yourself. They
okay.
taste better.
For a lot of people, they would stop eating sweets altogether.
Exactly.
Melissa's words to live by.
Melissa Clark is a food writer for our partner, the New York Times, and Dr. Brian Wansink, professor and director of the Food and Brand Lab at Cornell, also author of Mindless Eating. Thanks to both of you.
I feel like if I pointed this Oreo brownie at a kid, it would wake up. It would absolutely. If you're looking for a less sugary alternative for breakfast, you can get Melissa Clark's recipe for maple blueberry muffins at our website, thetakeaway.org. Just click on today's show. And while you're there, you can learn more about a project by our partner, the BBC. They're hosting a competition to have people show off My World to the rest of the globe. What message would you want people to know about you? If you were sending a message to planet Earth, take part by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE and find out more by going to our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.